Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, along with Bill the producer, Jimmy the Bubble Boy, and CJ are here as well. We basically got our Beatles band in the studio today. Bill is playing the role of Ringo. Bubble Boy is George. I think George was Green, wasn't he?
I believe so, yeah.
And I haven't decided which one I'm
going to play. We could find the album cover online and look or anything.
No. What do you think? We're going to like actually work while we do this show?
The one in front of me is not on. So I can't.
Well, that's because you were banned.
I actually looked at it. I looked at it just 5 minutes before we started the show, and I still can't remember who's what.
No, I think
color.
George was green, Paul is blue, and then what's the other color?
Red,
yellow.
Red and orange.
Yellow. That's right. Yellow.
Pink for breast cancer.
Yeah, there's no blue.
Huh? It was pink for breast cancer awareness.
No, it was not.
Brown
You're
for prostate.
You're.
It
should be.
I think it's a purpley color, a yellow color, a red, and a green.
Okay. We'll say. I think there's a yellow, though. I think.
That's what I said. A purple, a red, a green, and a yellow.
Who's purple? There's no purple. There's a blue.
I think it's a purpley blue.
Like a lavender kind of?
No. Yeah. A darker purple.
I think it's a violet.
Bill's thinking of the Teletubbies.
He is.
I am thinking of the Teletubbies.
Right.
You're absolutely
or Barney.
Right.
It could be Barney. Because Bubble Boy and Bill the producer are wearing their Sergeant Pepper outfits. And you may be asking why. It's because we're getting ready for the Dima show. And there's a Beatles theme to the awards party on Friday night. So our morning warm-up-the-crowd shenanigans that we do here at Scuba Radio for the Dima show is all going to have a Beatlesque vibe to it. It'll be groovy, boy, groovy man.
In fact, I believe it'll be bigger than Jesus.
Oh,
really? You had to go there.
It's the Beatles. We're the Beatles.
We're going to be banned now.
Bill, so controversial.
All right. Well, anyway, we're going to have these Beatles songs, but tying it into diving, how do you do that? Well, you make up songs. We did it a couple of weeks ago where we had the listeners call in with Beatles songs that they thought it could be twisted into a diving-themed parody. And, I did one last week to the birthday song, and that kind of went over like, a Yellow Submarine, pretty much. Bill didn't like it.
You should probably do a Yellow Submarine one.
Yeah, we have that one, yeah. Uh-huh. That was weird.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I'm looking for new stuff.
Oh, right.
All right, so we did
something
this.
Something new and innovative for a band which had its last performance in 1969. Yes. Well, let's do that. Let's do something cutting edge and new.
Hey, no. The Beatles music is smack dab in the middle of the diving demographic, which is in the meat of divers.
Hold on,
the general population.
Stop. I don't want to hear about any of the meat of any of the divers that we might have on the show.
45-ish.
I know we're
going to
talk to Neil Watson Jr. I don't want to hear about
that's
his
where
meat.
The biggest concentration of divers, certified divers, are. We wish it would be younger because we'd like to get younger people into it or trying it.
But maybe we just like younger people.
What is it again?
It's like 45 to 60 is the biggest concentration.
Oh, man, I'm right in the beginning.
Well, there you go. See?
I'm like the youngest diver there is.
Not entirely
in that number.
True.
Yeah.
60, in that number,
it's actually
yes.
more like 45 to 55. That is like the biggest concentration.
I might not even.
The median age.
I shouldn't even have my card. I'm too young.
No, you could say that. But
Patty gave me my card, though, and you signed off. So.
That's right. I paid her off. All right. So anyway, we have some songs that we developed this week. The first one, let's play, you know, with a little help from my friends. That was the song that we wanted to parody. And we came up with a, well, we
I
just
was right.
Up-
it is Pink. Sorry.
Huh? Pink? Well, it's more of a Lavender.
Ringo was kind of a Pepto-Bismol.
Bill's Ringo. Okay. A little help from my friends. Our spin on it for diving. Here we go. All right.
What would you think if I dove in the sea? Would you stand there or dive in with me?
Not bad, right?
Forget all your fears and take a big giant stride and find out what it's like to be free.
We doing the Beatles
Ooh,
or the Chipmunks?
I'll go dive with a little help from my fins. Yeah, stay alive and watch for signs of the bends. I'll go dive with a little help. I'll go dive with a little help from my fins.
Yeah, well, a little help from your fins. That CJ likes it.
Oh, my God.
Or is it more of those tears of pain or a little combination
of the
two? Was
that SpongeBob SquarePants?
It could have been.
CJ.
It did not sound exactly like John or Paul.
I mean, Patrick just left.
Yeah. Or George.
What, it sounded like Patrick?
Patrick Starr. I got that.
Yeah,
nice
that's
job.
Funny. Thank that's, you. Yeah.
Wow.
No, you know, we don't have a big budget here, but we hired Pete Best, and he was able to do
Stu
that one
Sutcliffe
for us.
On backing vocals.
That's wow. Why that's why Ringo replaced him, because he couldn't sing a lick. But, you know, we were able to hire him for a song, literally. Didn't like it, though, huh?
It was okay.
Okay.
I mean, I think it was okay. I think all we right. need to beef up the vocals a little bit.
Well, with, hey.
Maybe we can find a man to sing it next time.
No.
Wow.
What fun would that be?
That's a good point.
Yeah, you know.
14-year-old girl, I think she sounded great. I mean, I've watched enough American Idol to know you don't want to be mean to the teenage girls. I mean, just you feel bad when they're crying, but
no,
she sounded a little young.
That's Kelly, the Brazilian swimsuit model,
set
through auto-tune.
That is the best ever sounded.
Yeah.
There's no question. That
well, I got another one
okay.
that we did. So here's another one that you know has a Beatlesque type of thing to
so,
it.
So definitely a Beatles song, though.
No. No.
Oh, definitely not a Beatles song. Maybe
but
a song
a parody,
by one of the Beatles.
Yeah, why not?
When you want fun, just read a page from my dive log book. I used to say, live and let live.
You know you did, you know you did, you know you did.
But in this underwater world where we can dive in, should make one give it a try. So live and let's dive.
Okay, here we can headbang. Go ahead. Did they have headbanging back then? I don't remember. Because this is a
wing song.
Yeah. All right, was that better? You're not laughing or crying.
That was way better.
That was way better.
That was way better.
More
okay.
in your range.
Okay, you say so.
And in the middle part.
Yeah. All right, so you like that one. Even though it's not Beatles, it's still Paul McCartney, so it counts.
No.
Yeah, it does. I was thinking we could do a version of Imagine. Imagine there's no ocean.
That would really suck.
Right. See? We got something there.
No.
Yeah, we can do this.
You know, if this may be your double fantasy, but it's not mine.
Nice.
Oh.
Whatever, Austin Powers.
Again. At least we've gotten away from the Austin Powers / Beatles.
Oh, I'm not done yet. I'm not done. We can exchange your red Ringo Sergeant Pepper suit for Austin Powers.
I'm willing to swap it for a Red Sox shirt, a Red Sox 2013 World Series champion shirt.
No,
you got one of those?
No, not
a couple
happen.
More days.
Well, anyway, that's our latest entry into the DEMA festivities.
They're still going to let you in after that?
No.
But I hope they're not listening now.
They never do. So
who does?
You've already got everything set, your booth and everything. You're locked in.
Yeah, yeah. There's contracts. Contracts are signed.
They can't yank it now.
Nah, it's too late. I mean, we're less than a week or two away. So Big Wave Dave going to join us, give us a little preview of the Dima show today. Also, you know, did you see this this film that aired on CNN this week called Blackfish?
No.
About Shamu.
Actually, I saw it last night at the Cheers in Altamont Springs.
Okay, interesting.
Where I happened to be when it was on.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about
that. Hey, Woody, can you put CNN on the TV?
He walks in the door and they all go, Bill! Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll talk about Blackfish and Bill and more next. Stay close.
I hope.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
The dive pros at the Dima Show know, and now you do too. Dominica's Fort Young Hotel is offering a Dima Dive Show getaway. 5 days of diving, marine park fees, daily full breakfast, transfers, $50 resort credit, and 7 nights at the luxurious Fort Young Hotel for as low as $1063. From whales to waterfalls, Dominica has it all. A diver's paradise even non-divers will appreciate when staying at the Fort Young Hotel. Go to FortYoungHotel.com and book your Dima Dive getaway to Dominica now. That's FortYoungHotel.com.
Light and Motion, leading the industry in high-powered LED lighting and underwater video systems year after year. Light and Motion, consistently ranking at the top of the innovative technology spectrum. Light and Motion, 100% built in the USA in a historic warehouse on Cannery Row since 1989. Light and Motion, tomorrow's technology today. Light and Motion, look for the name the pros trust in a dive center near you. Light and Motion, on the web at lightandmotion.com.
Okay, here's our first attempt at our Beatles parodies.
You say it's your dive day. It's my dive day too, yeah.
Okay, can't all be winners.
You say it's your dive day.
Better have a male for the
people. We're gonna have a good time. I'm glad it's your dive day. Happy dive day to you.
No, nothing. It's not bad, is it? It's not totally hideous. It's
Music's good.
The music, okay. Yeah, we got that going for us. All right. Well, hey, wait, there's more.
Yes, we're going to a diving party. Yes, we're going to a diving party. Yes, we're going to a diving party.
Yeah.
Dive, let's dive. You say it's your dive day. It's my dive day too, yeah. You say it's your dive day. We're gonna have a good time. I'm glad it's your dive day. Happy dive day to you.
All right, that's probably enough, Bill. I've heard enough. Just kill it. I will say, you know, the guy who wrote the lyrics, who came up with that suggestion, he actually literally listened to the show a couple weeks ago. He emailed me the entire sheet of parody lyrics. I figured if he went to that much trouble, we'll give it a shot. And we aired it last week. He emailed me this week and said, "What the hell is wrong with you?
It's a little pitchy, dog."
And yeah. No, yeah, actually he liked it.
You know what though?
What?
I think he's come up with something. I like that whole celebrate the dive day thing. You know,
yeah, right.
Next
right.
time, you know, we dive. Hey, happy dive day.
Mm-hmm. So it could be a trend, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
It could be a new thing.
It really makes you appreciate it.
Yeah. Hashtag celebrate your dive day. Today's my dive day. Hashtag.
Why does he say it like that? And kind of, he kind of sashays too after he, or something. He has kind of some weird.
You're trying to divert attention away from the fact that in two of your songs you sound like a 14-year-old girl.
I'm telling
after
you, that's
auto-tuning.
Kelly, the Brazilian swimsuit model, sent through auto-tune.
Ain't no amount of auto-tune help you.
Yeah, true. Man, you should have seen the unprocessed or heard the.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to? You know, there's a blooper reel that you know that I may save that.
Not fit for air.
For some kind of you know horror thing that we do for Halloween.
What kind of thing?
Horror thing.
Yeah.
What?
Horror.
You're suggesting horror. There's horror. Two syllables in that word is what you're
horror.
Saying.
Horror. Horror.
He said some kind of horror thing.
The
yeah.
Horror. The horror.
Well, that too.
Horror.
Anyway, you know, we're sorry. And we'll just move on. This movie, Blackfish. All right. So it was on CNN, a documentary. That,
nice segue.
It made its debut, I believe, at the Sundance Film Festival. Won all kind of awards. I watched it. They aired it on CNN Thursday. And, I was looking forward to hearing about this because I heard that it probably wasn't going to be very positive PR for SeaWorld.
Now, this wasn't like Sharknado.
It was not like Sharknado. No.
Nothing like Sharknado.
No, this is more like The Cove, that dolphin
like
movie
a real
from
doc.
A few years ago. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's done very well. But, you know, the problem is that they hammered SeaWorld. I mean, totally obliterated them in this documentary, if you ask me. We're based in Orlando, and, you know, I don't have direct ties to the people at SeaWorld, but over the years of being here so many years, I do know
You've
people.
You've met
that,
one or two of
I've
them.
I've met a few of the dolphin trainers that have worked over there, and we've done things behind the scenes and saw how they've operated, you know, with some of the radio promotions that I've done over the years with SeaWorld being here in Orlando. And I got to tell you, I thought it was unfair, totally unfair, what they did, especially the fact that it aired on CNN. I mean, because this was not a news documentary, if you ask me. This was a, you know, somebody who had an agenda. They put this out. This was no different than, you know, a Michael Moore 9/11 film or whatever.
Inflammatory.
You know?
It's an opinion.
It's an opinion, exactly. And,
you can either dig it or don't dig
and
it.
And they didn't really make any attempt to give the other side of some of the positive things SeaWorld does. Now, as divers, and even, you know, speaking for myself, I would much prefer to always see fish and wildlife in the wild. I mean, it's different. It's not the same as seeing them, you know, in an aquarium when you go out and see them in their own environment, dolphins, whales, mm-hmm. whatever. And you know, I will admit that it's not an ideal situation to see them. But the plus side of aquariums and facilities like SeaWorld is that, unfortunately, not everybody can do what we do as divers. They don't have that luxury.
You know what, though? I maybe you and I took something different away from what they were saying they didn't like. I thought that they were that the real problem that they had was not exactly that these orca are kept in captivity, but that they're performers. That I took away it's the interaction between the trainers and the orca in the water being performers that they really had a problem with more than, I mean, because some of these orca, and I think the predominant number of orca that are available at SeaWorlds around the country are born in captivity and don't have the skills to hunt on their own in the wild.
Yeah.
So they have to be kept in captivity. It's the only way they can live
is
to be fed fish. And I didn't think that they were against them being in captivity. They were against them being performers.
No, it was both.
There was some of each.
No, they even said they wanted them released. They should be let out into the wild, out in the open ocean pen. Exactly.
They would die.
Free Willy was a travesty what happened to that whale. You know, years later, when it was going on, you know, everyone thought, yeah, you know, Free Willy, and they're really going to do this for this
the Free Willy whale was not at SeaWorld. He was in a traveling aquarium. It was like a kiddie pool in Mexico.
Right. It was a bad facility.
Yes.
And they got him into a better facility, but then they said, no, we got a Free Willy. We got a Free Keiko. That was what the whale's name was. And they had this whole program to reintroduce Keiko back into the wild. It took a long time, and
it didn't work.
It did not work.
And they got to eat a lot of food, and they got to catch it themselves, and they don't know how.
Well, and you know, there was a lot of talk that
kind of like Greg trying to catch a lobster.
No, not a, that's
kind of like
not
Jimmy
even close.
Trying to get a date.
Yes, no.
Limp fin. I don't have a limp fin.
No, it's bent over like that all the time. I promise. So here's the deal, at least my opinion, and this is, you know, SeaWorld has its role. That's my feeling, because they reach a hell of a lot more people than we can as divers, unfortunately. We can tell our friends what we see in the wild and that kind of thing, but the reality is not everybody has a luxury to go out there and see these animals, whether it's killer whales, dolphins, sea lions, that kind of thing, in the wild. Like they can at SeaWorld. Is it a perfect scenario? No. But do I prefer to see them in the wild? Absolutely. And I'll go back to what Jean-Michel Cousteau told me many years ago. We were talking about sharks and marine.
He said, Greg, get the hell off my boat.
Yeah, no, well, after that. Marine aquariums and things like that, how, you know, what his view on them were. And he said, well, look, you know, it isn't ideal. He goes, I don't really like having animals in captivity myself. And, but he said they end up being ambassadors for their species. And, yeah, maybe they have a different type of life than they would in the wild, and they are giving up certain freedoms and things, and it's not ideal for them personally. But the betterment of their species as a whole is gaining from this, you know, this display at a place like SeaWorld.
So you're saying they're like the Kardashians?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Living a normal life, but a lot of people see them.
It's kind of like Scared Straight for Orca.
No.
What does that make us, Greg? Does that make you an ambassador when we go diving? Are we ambassadors to our species?
That makes him Bruce Jenner.
Yeah. Without the money. Yeah.
The gold medal.
Right. But, you know, I don't know.
I feel bad when I go to SeaWorld for these animals that I know are in a dramatically smaller space than they should have.
Well, maybe.
But there's no way you could make a space big enough and see these animals for most people. I agree with your point that you're not going to see an orca if you are an American and you don't live in the Pacific Northwest. You're never going to see one.
And you don't
never,
fall off
ever,
a cruise
ever.
Ship in Alaska.
Exactly. You're never going to see one.
Probably not. But we got SeaWorld, and, you know, they got their place. That's my opinion. We'll talk more about it after the Dan tip. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, divers' consumer tip number 276. When the apocalypse comes and the zombies take over the world...
Any zombies out there?
Divers, fear not. You'll have plenty of time to swim to safety as the undead gorge themselves on brain coral.
Don't say that. What?
Brain coral.
That.
This is now the United States of Zombieland.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the Real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio, we have Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. What do we need to know today, Nick?
Your dive site.
I don't have a dive site.
You do when you're diving, and you need to know it well.
Okay, I'll bite. How do I get to know a dive site? Swim up and introduce myself?
Well, that would certainly be one approach. But the introduction begins before you ever even get near the water. When preparing to visit a dive site, the first thing you should do is familiarize yourself with its location.
Wouldn't that be a given? Otherwise, how do I get there?
You're funny. I don't mean the city and state. I mean where the dive site is located and what factors might need to be taken into consideration. For example, if the dive site is in the ocean, how far from shore is it?
Oh, I get it. If it's land-based, how will you access it?
Exactly. Is it remote, or will supplies and resources be available if you need them?
I imagine the answers to these questions help you know what to bring with you.
Sure they do. If you know where there is no place to stock up on water, for instance, you know to bring plenty of it on your own. Similarly, if you know you're going to be heading, I don't know, 20 miles out to sea, you'll know to have whatever you need with you, as it won't be a quick ride back to the dock.
You know, I remember from another safety tip that you want to check out what emergency equipment and resources are on site, too.
Wow! You just made my day. Seriously?
I feel a little verklempt.
You're welcome.
But you are absolutely right. Part of knowing your dive site is knowing what you'll need to do in the event of an emergency. And that includes knowing what emergency resources are at hand, where's the nearest medical facility, and if any emergency procedures may be in place. Of course, if you're going to be in a location that has no formal dive operation in place, you'll need to cover all of that yourself.
What about the dive itself?
Before you ever enter the water, you should have at least some idea of what to expect. You should know the appropriate water temperature, the basics of the site topography, or hazards you might want to avoid, as well as any information available on currents, weather, and other appropriate factors.
What about marine life?
Absolutely. You should be aware of what marine life may be on the site. Critters are not only part of the excitement of diving, but should an unexpected encounter occur, you should be sure to have the appropriate first aid equipment with you.
So how do you go about researching a dive site?
In today's world, it's never been easier. You're living in the information age, and never has so much information been so readily available about, well, pretty much anything you want to look up. In terms of researching a dive site, the internet is good. Books, magazines, dive centers, and other divers are also outstanding resources, and the list goes on.
What about Dan?
Certainly, Dan can be a resource. If you need to know anything about emergency resources or medical care in the area, give us a call.
So it sounds like the whole point of this is the more familiar you are with a dive site before you get in the water, the less likely you are to run into trouble.
You've got it exactly right. There's no such thing as a foolproof plan, but it's well known that proper preparation and planning significantly reduce your chances of something going wrong. So by taking some time to learn about the dive site you'll be diving, you're taking action to increase your dive safety.
Knowledge is power, right?
You know it.
Exploring new places is one of the best parts of diving. But part of being a good explorer is learning what's already known about a given location. So before you head to your dive site, take some time to learn what you're diving into. A little familiarity ahead of time can help increase the fun and your safety. Do that, and you're guaranteed Dan Good Diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
Brain coral.
Yeah, you know, it's Halloween week, so you can make these brain coral zombie type things. You know,
Halloweeny.
Yeah. But anyway, we're still kind of talking a little bit about this documentary Blackfish, about, you know, killer whales. Should they be in aquariums like SeaWorld, that kind of thing? You know, I feel that it was just a hatchet job on SeaWorld. We're based out of Orlando, you know, and I understand the other side, but I just thought that was irresponsible to put that on CNN. I just didn't think that was fair. Okay.
I think it's your fault for having such high expectations for CNN.
Exactly.
I don't know if you saw any of the coverage of the Boston Marathon explosion stuff. CNN was horrible.
That's a car, and there might be someone on the other side of it.
I have no idea what's going on, but I hear noises. We'll run down the street.
Okay. Well, this isn't a commentary on CNN. They suck. Anyway. On the phone is our close personal friend and sometimes mermaid, Lacey, who she works with dolphins every once in a while and has a lot of experience working with animals of that sort. And she is on Scuba Radio. How are you, Lacey? Long time no chat.
I know. It's been too long. I'm great. How are you, Greg?
I'm good. I'm good. Now, what do you think? What do you think of this Blackfish documentary?
Well,
I'm
on the same page as you are about it. You know, I have an opposed view to what was presented on the movie.
Yeah, I mean, because you've worked with these animals, or well, not killer whales, but I know you've done some work with dolphins and turtles and sea lions and aquariums and things like that.
Mm-hmm. I currently am a marine mammal trainer. I work with dolphins several days a week. I also work with a variety of other marine animal species like sharks and sea turtles and
mermaids.
Felines as well.
Right. But you create a real personal bond with these animals. And you can kind of start to read how they are reacting to you. And they're as just excited to see you and vice versa. It becomes a really close relationship, like a guy and his Labrador retriever or something. You know what I'm saying?
Let's be honest. Really, we would all be excited if for the next 3 hours we're going to be being trained in the pool by Mermaid Lacey.
Yeah. Well, that's another show for another day. But that bonding you get with the animals really does happen as a trainer like that, right?
Absolutely, and in a way that I'm just really not even capable of expressing. It's beyond anything else that I've ever experienced. You know, you brought up, you know, a guy and his dog, but it's almost even more powerful than that. You have just this kind of respect for these animals, and they have a respect for you, and you are able to interact with them on just another kind of level. And I can guarantee you that there is nobody that cares more about these animals than their trainers and caretakers.
Yeah, you know, one of the things they said on this documentary was, you know, it was talking about the tragic accident that happened with the trainer at SeaWorld in Orlando, where she was killed by the killer whale. We don't know what happened. You know, they're making these assumptions. Well, the whale was frustrated. It did this. And they don't know what happened. And if anybody does know, it's the trainers at SeaWorld. They're you guys have these bonds with these animals that, like you just said, it's hard to explain. But I have seen it.
Yeah.
I have seen it firsthand how the trainers work with the animals. And when you see how they're connected that way, and you don't see these trainers coming out and saying, hey, we don't know what this happened here. And you know, I mean, it just drives me a little crazy, the one-sided approach that was presented in that.
The way that I looked at the movie was, it was a spiteful monologue. It was not a dialogue. It did not present both sides of the story. They, you know, were going for the kill with everything that they were saying. Now, as far as what happened with the trainer, her name was Dawn, and it was a very, very tragic thing that happened. It was heartbreaking, and people in the animal care field, her coworkers, her family, you know, it's still a very sore spot for all of us.
Of course.
But I can't speak for what happened because I wasn't there. I wasn't able to see it. And that's one of the things that bothers me about this movie, is that they are making assumptions that are unfounded.
Right.
But one thing that I can say is that anybody that is in this field, especially people that are working with orcas, are perfectly aware of the type of animal that they are working with. They are very, very large and intelligent animals, and they do have emotions and feelings.
Right.
So, you know, frustration can be expressed in the same way that excitement and happiness can be expressed.
Sure. And stuff can go wrong.
Whether that was what happened or not, it's a risk that, being an orca trainer, she took on that risk knowing what was involved.
Yeah, it's an assumed risk. They go in with their eyes open. I don't think if she were standing here today, her family was not you know, featured in this documentary at all, by the way. But my guess is they're probably not necessarily on the same side. But I don't know, you know. But like you said, there's an assumed risk when you become a killer whale trainer. These people do it because they want this opportunity to work with these animals and learn about them. And I'm sure you've just learned an amazing amount of stuff working with the animals that you have, I know, as well. So hold the line if you can. If you can't, got to run, we understand. But we got more coming up here on Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact K7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
I've written quite a bit of X-Men fan fiction. Captain Mutato is half man, half mermaid, so he can fight crime as a man and make love as a mermaid. Most of my writing involves the latter.
Can't swim, so I took a boat to an island so remote. Only Johnny Depp has ever been to it before. I stayed there till the air was clear. I was bored and out of tears. Then I saw you washed up on the shore.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We got to thank Mermaid Lacey for joining us. She has experience working with these dolphins and things. She's done some aquarium work and that kind of stuff. So it's good to get her insight. And Lacey, I appreciate you taking the time today share your insight. Now, let me ask you this. You know, when we're talking about this documentary, Blackfish, you know, what they didn't cover it at all is some of the positive things we learn from a facility like SeaWorld. Now, I know you have experience, you know, working with dolphins in that regard and in similar type, you know, circumstances. What have you learned from, for instance, maybe like dolphins and things that you've worked with as far as that surprised you that we may not know from looking, you know, from the outside into one of these facilities?
I learned how to love again.
It's hard to answer a question like that because I've just learned so much. But one thing that I can say that I learned, like, specifically from visiting zoos and aquariums and parks like SeaWorld is that I learned respect for these animals. I learned an appreciation for them and a desire to want to help them. And that's one of the main things that facilities that display these animals want to get across to people. And that was something that was not brought up in the movie at all, was the documentary, was how much good is done, how mm-hmm. much people do get the opportunity to learn, and also that, you know, it's animal caretakers, animal professionals, animal trainers, SeaWorld Park employees, they're the ones that are going out and rescuing and rehabilitating animals.
Right. Yeah, and it's literally hundreds of animals every year. I mean, in Florida, we hear about it much, much more than the rest of the country, I would say. Wouldn't you think that's fair?
SeaWorld, yeah, SeaWorld alone has rescued and rehabilitated more than 22,000 animals.
Wow. And it also seems to me that most of the people that get the passion to want to go and work with these animals did not get it from watching a TV show, because you don't have that personal connection. They get it from going and seeing the animals
right.
in places like that.
Yeah, you know, it's not much different than going to a shark dive and seeing how the sharks react to having divers in the water, food in the water, and seeing how they respond to that situation. People, when you tell them, hey, I went in the ocean to go dive with sharks, they look at you like you're on Mars and like, oh my God, that's insane.
Cage,
but when you do
it,
right.
You go in the cage.
There's something extremely magical about being able to observe animals in the wild. I mean,
yeah.
I see dolphins every single day, yet when I see them out in the wild, it's just, you know, it really moves me. So, of course, people are going to want to be able to see animals out in the wild. For those types of people that are not able to have that experience, they do not have access to something like that, but are able to get to a zoo or aquarium and be able to see them in that kind of setting, you know, we're bringing information to them and the opportunity to look at an animal that they would not have the opportunity to be able to see in the wild. So that is, you know, a demographic of people that we are able to reach that wouldn't be able to do it on their own. Do you,
right.
you know what I'm trying to
yeah,
say there?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
I mean, I've done a lot of dives.
Mm-hmm.
I've not had a large mammal encounter ever.
Well, there
I
you
mean,
go.
I mean, I've seen dolphins from 30 feet away,
yeah.
but they were 30 feet away. It is not the same as seeing dolphins at any of the marine parks in Florida.
That's right. I mean, they have their role. That's the, in the overall picture of you know, good public relations for the animals, marine life and that kind of thing. Aquariums, SeaWorld, those kind of facilities definitely have a role. Whether you like them or not personally. You know, you don't want to see stuff
right.
in captivity. Okay, that's fine. Don't go. But don't shut them down for everybody else, and don't ignore all the good stuff and work that they do as a result of the programs that they provide the public. That's my feeling.
Yeah, I couldn't say it better myself. That's exactly what it is. And, you know, as a young child, I was able to have a dolphin encounter through a facility, and that's what changed things for me. That moment of being able to have a close encounter with these animals, that's what made me be sensitive to the ocean my entire life. That's what made me participate in beach cleanups. That's what made me pursue this job.
Yeah.
And I spend every single day that I'm at work trying to make it the best day ever for the animals that I'm taking care of.
Yeah.
And I know that everybody else does that, too, that's in this field.
That's right.
I mean,
they love the animals.
We care.
They absolutely
we care.
Do. They do. And, you know, so there's definitely a positive side that was ignored on that documentary, and well, I guess we'll just leave it at that. Lacey, I appreciate your insight, and hey, we got to get together. Maybe you can come up and join us for DEMA or something for a day in a couple weeks. You think?
I'm gonna try. Yeah.
All right.
Great. For sure.
All right. You have a great day, and we'll let you back in the water to so you can go play mermaid again. All right.
I would love that. All right. It was good talking to you. Thanks, Greg.
You got it. That's Mermaid Lacey, and you know she can only be on the air so long. They start to dry out. They have to jump back in the water.
I will tell you, the thing that I really like about big animal encounters like you get at those things, those close encounters that you get, they are so much less invasive than close encounters with aliens.
Has he been drinking?
I saw a whale get a boner once in one of these parks.
Hey, you don't see that in the wild.
No. By the time you do, it's too late.
Don't forget Stinky the Dolphin.
Moon, oh, that's right.
Moon River.
Oh, boy.
True story.
Anyway.
Babar with two Bs.
You can watch Blackfish, you know, for yourself. Make your own decision. There's our thoughts on it. We got more coming up. Halloween is this week. How to combine your favorite passion of diving and Halloween. We got that to share, as well as many, many more fun things to delve into, including some liveaboard options for you as well. So stick around. Hour two of Scuba Radio is coming up next.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.